Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 96, verses 1, 8, and 9. Well, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Father, we come to you with the words of Ezra to the people of Israel. When the books were found and the law was read, he said, "Do no sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And Father, during our life here on this earth, there is many things to sorrow. There are many things that bring sorrow to our life. We confess that to you. But thank you, Father, that the Lord is our strength. In each sorrow, in each circumstances, whether it's people or activities or work or whatever, we look up and we thank you, Father, that we know you. We thank you, Father, that we have come to believe in the God of heaven. And in the high priest who have paid for our sins and redeem us, pay off us. And not only that, he opened the door of the very throne of grace so that we can pray as we do now in his name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Now as a church body, we are delighted to praise your name together, and the choir will do so in a few minutes. And then, Father, we will open your word and be read like in the times of Ezra, where your people were excited. And then, Father, we will open the word again and look upon each verse of that word and see the blessings stored for us and the way wide open for us to walk with God. Father, we also have missionaries who do the same as well. They are in different lands. Fred and Carol Lewis in Omsk, Siberia, Russia. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Central America. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center
in Gilroy, California, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California, Damian and Miriam Lacey at the Motorsport Ministry across America, and Martha Poretti in Argentina. And Lord, we look forward to add this year more people to our list of missionaries so that they can bring the gospel personally to different people, that we cannot do so. But as a church, we are commanded to spread the word of God everywhere. We are blessed by having the ministry of radio and the ministry of internet, the CD ministry and the tape ministry. And we are blessed that some people listen, those who you have appointed. And then, Father, we are blessed that they write back and they tell us the glory of your word. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, we have expenses. Every week you meet our expenses in a majestic way. And I thank you personally for your people who yield themselves to you in love for Jesus so that the gospel can be preached in this church. And then, Father, I pray for other pastors in this city that they too may seriously consider to preach thy word with might. Lord, bless them and bless their churches so the people will come in and hear the word explained, and let the free gift of the Spirit touch their heart and be saved. We need an America with saved people. America doesn't need a new Social Security plan, doesn't need a new army, doesn't need nothing except Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that we, the people of God who preach in the pulpit, will stop playing around and bring Jesus and Jesus alone. So bless the offering now and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
take your Bibles now and turn to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians. And if you're using the Bible provided for you in the pew, please turn to page 688. We will be reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And will you now please stand for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Blessed be the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for saving us from our sins and your wrath by sending your Son, who redeemed us through his shed blood on the cross. We thank you that you have made known to us in the Scriptures the mystery of your will. We are grateful that you are the sovereign Lord who works all things according to the counsel of your own will. And we who were afar off in our rebellion, as we rebelled, you have adopted us according to your pleasure. What can we say of such a great salvation? Our only boast is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to walk in good works, we pray. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We know our times are in your hands, so we thank you for bringing us together to worship and pray and learn together. Bless Pastor as he comes to bring the wonderful news from the Scriptures. We pray especially for those who do not know you, who are listening on the radio and internet and CD and tape, that they may believe the gospel of peace with you and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my good brother. And just for the control room, I want to take this microphone away so that you will be silenced in this. No noise. Thank you very much. Now, not too long ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I have a friend, a French-Canadian friend, who is a professional golf player. And he wants me to get a handicap. I had no idea what a handicap means. I can kick that golf ball with my feet better than with a club. But he made me a member, and finally we classify in San Diego and so on, and you go through the whole ritual of these things and a lot of practice. Even we practice in his home before going. His wife wants to kill us almost. We break things and living room. But then I received from the association, the United States Golf Association, and the PGA Tournament Partners Club Association, a booklet and who triggers the name for my sermon this morning. This booklet is the privilege of a golfer who has a handicap. And as you know, a handicap is a score record for you. That when you play, you're ahead of the one that you play. So I went through that, and I never used it. I never played professionally or anything like that. And so I look on it, and there's a lot of privilege that I don't know I have as a golfer, as a handicap. So I question myself, why? I'm missing something for not reading properly the documentation sent it to me. And I'm volunteer ignorant of my privilege. Now, when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were placed in a body membership style, not in a club. So please, if you have your Bible, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, which that will be page 676. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, page 676. I say it again, when you became a believer, you were placed in a body membership style, not in a club. Look at what the scripture says. For now, for 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Let me see. I go over there right here. I have it. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When you became a believer in Christ Jesus as your Savior, the one who paid off of your sins, the one who died in your place eternally, you became part of a body. Now, what kind of body? A Baptist body? A Roman Catholic body? A Pentecostal body? Please, turn your Bible to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 18, which is page 693. Colossians, chapter 1, in verse 18, and you will find out right there what kind of membership are you in. You maybe don't know, see? And so let's review together our privilege as membership. In Colossians 1, and in verse 18, in page 693, we read these words. And he, that's Jesus, and he is the head of the body. He is the CEO of the body, the high priest of the body. See? The church. Now that's the name of the body. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The name of the institution with the body membership style is called, according to Colossians 1:18, the church. And the CEO of the institution is Christ Jesus alone. No Pastor Otero, no the Pope in Rome, no nobody in this earth is the key head of the institution. The only head of the institution is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer, you are in that body. Now you know that. You maybe call yourself a Roman Catholic. You maybe call yourself a Baptist or a Pentecostal, a Southern Baptist or whatever. That's incidental. The key is, are you a member of the body? And if you're a member of the body, now you are in a body membership style. So you got privilege. You got responsibilities, and you got privilege. All right? Now, the privilege are written right there with our brother read the scripture this morning. So let's turn our Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And let's review our privilege. They are all there, and I plan to to go over them, and I aware the board control in KKMC, please block the other guy who followed me for 5 more minutes. I need until 12:10. I'm a friend of the manager. All right. Let's review the privilege together. All right. Now, I go verse by verse with you, and we draw from the manna of God's word the information. Like I went chapter by chapter of this little booklet, and as, oh, you lost your ball, you had the privilege to do this and this. You know, you really know what to do, when, and you don't feel bad about it. This is not a rule and regulation. This is what you can do in golf. And I said, wow, and this chapter 1 of Ephesians is who you are in the body, how blessed you are, how wonderful God has blessed you. And I know you know it, but let's go to review them. Number 1. I am blessed. Past tense. I am blessed. No by Pastor Otero, no by a priest, no by any other pastor, but look at by whom. Verse 3. I read it and then I break it in pieces for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Number 1, I am blessed. I am blessed by the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Has blessed us, referred to the Father. God, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the one who holds my life, the breath of my life in his hand, he had blessed me. I am blessed by the Holy Spirit. Look at the text. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I am blessed by the Father. I am blessed by the Holy Spirit. If you put one hand in Ephesians, if you go to the Gospel of John, in chapter 16 in the Gospel of John, page 634, John Gospel, chapter 16. Let me read for you verse 7 and the verses that follow, and see how the Holy Spirit has blessed me. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7, page 634. Jesus is departing, and he is preparing the mind of the disciples. And he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is not expedient or for your advantage that I go away. It is for your advantage, excuse me. It is for your advantage, or it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, or the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And what does the Holy Spirit do to us? Look at verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. And so I am blessed by God the Father. I am blessed by God the Holy Spirit, who has convicted me of sin and brought me into the heavens. And I am blessed by Jesus. Look at in verse 3. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, page 688. And in verse 3, at the very end of verse 3, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, the blessing of the Father, with every spiritual blessing, the blessing of the Spirit, and heavenly places in Christ. Now, I am blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of blessing the Lord gave to me? Look in Mark Gospel, please, chapter 18. You have the Gospel of Matthew. I don't have the page, but I tell you, you have Matthew. The next that follow is Mark. And if you go to Mark 18, no, there is no Mark 18, all right? Well, let me tell you what the verse says. It says, I came to seek that which was lost. That's what the Gospel of Mark says. I came to seek that which was lost. And so, I'm blessed by the Father. I'm blessed by the Holy Spirit. and I'm blessed by the Son. Because Jesus did not came here to sit a throne and to sit down as a king. He could, but he didn't. He came to save the lost, and I was one of them. What a marvelous thing. I am blessed. That's one of your privileges. When you are down, things go in the wrong direction in your life, think on this. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. If you are a Christian, you are a blessed man. You are a blessed woman. Business may go wrong. These investments that Americans do in commerce may go wrong. But you are a blessed person. Regardless how your business goes, regardless how you, what kind of house you have, you're a blessed person. You are blessed by God the Father, by God the Holy Spirit, and by God the Son. I am blessed. Number two, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Number two, I am elected. Have you ever run for office? I did one in my life. What a courageous guy. I only was 25 or 26, and I win. But my family asked me to resign in Argentina. I run for senator, and I win. And nobody knew. They just put my name. I never did any campaign or anything. And my family asked me to resign. They go, but they're the senators. They don't like you. They shoot you. So they say, you better resign. I'm elected. Now let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this verse tells me two things about my election. I am handpicked by Christ. Look at, just as he is Jesus, chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I am handpicked by Christ. That means there is no personal merit in any one of us to become a member of the body of Christ. When you become a member of these PGA Tour Partners program, you have to perform certain score. And if you perform certain score, there is a minimum. Then you are a member of the association. Here you don't have to perform anything. Now, let's go to, you're in Ephesians 1, go to Ephesians 2, please, and look. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 makes the confirmation. It says, for by grace, a favor of God, you have been saved. Some of your Bibles change the word grace for favor, and maybe is the proper new terminology, but I love the old style, that tells me that God has done something for me. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not yourself. No, you don't have anything in you to do this. It is a gift of God. And look at verse 9. Not of works, lest anybody should boast. In other words, I have been elected so that no one of us can say, hey, you see, God chose me because I'm a doctor. Or God chose me because I'm a great professional in my field. No. God chose you because you had no way to choose God. That's what God chose you. Isn't that fantastic? Now, remember, these are privileges. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 4, I was handpicked by Christ, and not only that, but I was handcrafted by God. You know, what's the name of these big pictures they sell in America and everywhere? Those pictures, a famous painter. Say it again. Kincaid. Now, he doesn't do the painting. He has his students. And they do the painting. Go here in Morgan Hill and see it. They do the painting, and then he put the final touch. But that's not what God did with me. Go to chapter 2 of Ephesians in verse 10. And chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. He did not send Angel Jose to help to build Gabriel. You know? He did not send anybody to frame me. This is what verse 10 says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are we blessed? I'm elected. I was handpicked by Christ before I was born, so I cannot get any merit about it. And number two, the things that I do, they have no merits because God has prepared the work for me. And each one of you have a work and have something to do in that work of God. Some of you are great Sunday school teachers. Some of you are great counselors. Some of you are great husbands and great wife and great children. God gave us a gift to each one of us, and we make a body and we need each other. And no one of us can say, I'm great, because God has made me in that way. Whew, this is exciting. My blood pressure is going to go up. I am blessed. I'm elected. Now the next one. I'm adopted. And I know a little bit about adoption, because at one time in life, we thought we have only one child. We maybe adopt a child, and you go through an agency, and they ask you questions, and I fail. I'm adopted. I'm glad. I'm adopted. Verse 5 and verse 6. I'm adopted voluntarily. Look at verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption, this is the way that God gets you into the membership. Nobody is scoring anything and applying and get merit. He said he adopted you. That's the way you go into the membership. God, that's the predestined, means this is the established law. The established law is this. God has adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He signed the adoption because he wants to. Nobody influenced God to adopt Gabriel Luther. Nobody. Nothing that I did promote God, encourage God to adopt me. Amazing. When we went through the adoption, they give us a record of different babies. And we went through about 20 different babies. And you sit down with a social worker and all these and these and all these families and their genetic formats and so on, and they check you and all this. And remember, he said, are you ready? And I looked to Miriam, and she was maybe 4 or 5, and I said, no, I'm not ready. What? No, I'm not ready. Thank you for explaining me this. So what is it? He said, you know something? Maybe something wrong with me. But I want to tell you the truth. He said, tell me. He said, I love Miriam. 100%. And I cannot love this baby 100%. So I'm not ready. Now you maybe think I'm crazy, but that's the way I was. If you want to adopt somebody, you have to adopt the person, loving that person 100%. Now the social worker never asked me if I love the baby, but I just voluntarily told her. She said, well, that's good. She said, that's good. Yeah. I said, you really helped me. She said, yeah. She said, if I don't, I may be qualified with all my details and my income and my house and so on, but if I don't going to love the baby in the same quality I love the other, I'm not qualifying. Now, I'll tell you something. Here is what God said, verse 5. Having predestined us to the adoptions. And so God voluntarily, you see the last part of verse, to the good pleasure of his will. God said, yes, I can love Gabriel as I love Jesus. Wow. This is great. God's going to love a sinner in the same way that he's going to love his holy son. If we have privilege. Verse 6. Irretrievably. Look at this verse 6. To the praise of God's glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Have you made a trust? There is two trusts, a living trust and an irrevocable trust. You don't want to be sued and lose anything you got. You do an irrevocable trust, and then you don't owe anything anymore for the rest of your life. So we went through the process of the irrevocable trust. And whatever I have is not mine, belong to my daughter. God has made an irrevocable adoption. Satan, who owns us before, who was our father before, he cannot claim us back. Have you seen in television the other day a lady who, after 2.5 years, because there was a note in the adoption, that the baby could be reclaimed by one of the parents. Now the baby, after 2.5 years in this home, is going to go back to the original mother of the mother who had the baby. Well, never happened to me again in my life, in my spiritual life, because verse 6 said, He made us accepted in the Beloved. My acceptance was not conditioned to something I did, no conditioned something the church did. My acceptance was conditioned to something that Christ Jesus had done. And when Jesus went to the cross, He said, it is finished. Nothing more to be done. Whew. This is spectacular. And now only at the beginning, it knows, wow, I'm adopted. I'm redeemed, verse 10. Let's go, Ephesians 1, verse 7 to 10. I am redeemed. Verse 7, the price was paid. Look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The price was paid. Remember Exodus 12, don't look over there. Exodus 12, verse 7 and verse 13. God said, now every one of the Israelites should take the blood of the lamb and put on the lintel of the door and on the jambs of the door. And then verse 13 said, and I will pass and go over the house that have the blood. That was a really prophetic way to say the blood will be the price. The blood of the lamb will be the price of your salvation. The price was paid by Christ. Verse 8, the price paid was sufficient. Look at verse 8. Which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. It was sufficient. No wonder Romans 8 talks about that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The price paid for Christ was sufficient. You don't have to pray for the dead. Already Christ Jesus has died for those who are sinners and have taken Him into their life. And therefore, there is nothing more you have to do or God has to do. The price was sufficient. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was all that was required. Verse 9. I get the notification. Some people told me, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Now look at verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. When I was born, I had no idea I was going to get saved. Is that right? You ask a baby and say, are you going to be saved? And that's the only thing you get. But what verse 9 says? Having made known to us. No wonder if you turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1, page 701. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, page 701. Let me get into 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 12. Here it is. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I know I'm going to heaven. You can talk to the Apostle Paul and tell all kinds of things, and he will say, I know whom I have believed. Who told him? God, not the church. Sometimes the church takes the prerogative to say, I save you. But that's baloney. You go to hell. Your salvation depends on the church. You're going to hell. Your salvation has to depend on Christ Jesus. And so verse 9 said, I get the notification. I know. Only you know if you are saved or not. No, you can be a member of the church. You can sing in the choir. You can preach in the pulpit. There may be no saved. But you know you are saved. You know you are saved. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Verse 10, I am part of the family of God. Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Here on earth, we have different divisions. We have a major division in Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. In the Protestant Church, 2,500 divisions, and the Roman Catholic Church, they have orders and divisions and so on. And there is all kinds of things. And then you have other people, the Muslims and the Buddhists and so on. But in heaven, those who are believers in Christ, they will be all one. That's it. And there will be no signs outside Bethel Baptist Church. There will be no signs like that. We'll be one. I think 1 John explained it to us. If you move to 1 John 3, page 718, 1 John chapter 3, and is in verse 1 and in verse 2. Look at what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2, is in page 718. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is that clear? Is that clear? I am redeemed. Verse 11 to 14, I am an inheritor. Let's go to Ephesians 1. I am an inheritor. I have something that came to me. Verse 11, my name is in the living trust. Look at verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. We, plural, personal pronoun. We have obtained an inheritance. My name is in the living trust. My life should be excited. Look at verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. I should be delighted that I'm a Christian. I should be the most fantastic, joyful person because I'm a Christian and my name is in the inheritance of God. Verse 13, my living trust is an irrevocable living trust. Look at verse 13. And him you also trust, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. My belief in God's acceptance has been sealed, and nobody can move it. It is an irrevocable living trust. Regardless what I do with my life, I can live like a miserable, but I still go to heaven if I'm saved. Because of him. Verse 14. My future is secure. Who is the down payment or the guarantee or the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? God have given me the Holy Spirit and my salvation as a down payment. And one day when he's coming back, he brings me to heaven and I'm free. You knew this privilege, no? You knew them. Those privileges should change your life completely. I am blessed, verse 3. I am elected, verse 4. I am adopted, verse 7 to 10. I am, verse 5 and 6, excuse me. I'm redeemed, pay off, 7 to 10. I am an inheritor, verses 11 to 14. Now, you know what the body is, don't you? That's the body, the church. That's the church. That's the body you're a member of. That is the body that God has placed you. Remember how I start in 1 Corinthians 12, 13? God has placed you by the power of the Holy Spirit in the body. Whether you like it or not, he placed you in the body. He caused you to believe and move you to believe. Now, the question is this, and it's a $4 million question. How do I become part of the body? Well, some people come to church and they request a church membership. Well, this is not the way to become part of the body, a church membership at Bethel Baptist Church. Now, some people are babies and they baptize the baby. So in South America, we call it they Christianize the baby. They make part of the family. Now, Israel did that. Israel circumcised the baby to make part of Israel. So we're not instructed in the Bible to do that. In Acts chapter 8, one man asked the question, what stopped me to be baptized? And the answer from Philip was, if thou believe it, if you believe it, you can be baptized. So we know that we are not to baptize babies. So now, how can I become part of the family of Christ? Well, you have the Bible in Ephesians 1, look in verse 13. They are the steps. Verse 13 said, and whom and him you also trust after you hear the word of truth. First, you heard the Bible. You cannot become a believer by a dream. You cannot become a believer by seeing visions. You have to hear the word. You have to hear the word. And then after you hear the word, you cannot come to me and said, well, you know, I know all the doctrines of the Bible. What does that mean? Any high schooler can read a chapter of the Bible, memorize it, and tell me, I know everything the Bible said in this chapter. But look at the first word in verse 13. In him you also trust, believe. So you hear the word and you believe. So I believe what God said. Now listen to the next step. You hear the word, you believe, and then God signs the membership. I remember when I was playing golf, I said to my friend Pelletier, that's French-Canadian, and now what? He said, now come the one who certify your score. And the man took my paper, and he certified that I did that, and that paper became valid. Now look at who certified your membership, verse 13. He said, in him you also trust, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were what? Sealed by the Holy Spirit. So here's how you come part of the family of God. You listen to the word of God. You know what good will be for you? You are not a believer. Just take the word of God with you and read it. Start in any place you want to. But read it through. Read it through. And then after you believe, God signed the membership. You even don't have to apply to it. God signed the membership. The key is we got privilege. We knew it, and it's good to refresh our mind from time to time how blessed we are with the privilege we have. Life can give us a very hard time. Divorce, all kinds of situations can be really bad in life, and accidents, physical damage. I visited the hospital this week with in Santa Clara with a boy, 24 years old, on December the 25th. He was coming down the slopes in Lake Tahoe and hit a tree, and now he cannot walk anymore. 24 years old, Korean fellow. And the family, mother Korean, the father Cambodian, and they, you know, I go to the coffee shop, they say, can you go and pray with him? And I went. And the boy looked to me and said, what's going to happen to my life? Well, that's a good question. I said, oh, it's a great future for you. If everybody leaves the room, I tell you. And everybody left the room, and I had the opportunity to open the Word of God for the first time he hear it. And I said, my son, these legs are nothing for God. These nerve systems, nothing. It's, I read the passage in 1 John 3 where it said, "And nothing, you have no, if you are saved now, you have seen nothing yet. Wait until you get to heaven." He said, how long I had to wait? That was a great question. I knew he was smart. He was Korean. How long do I have to wait? How do I know? How do I know? But I know one thing, that if you wait upon the Lord, Psalm 16, you're going to be blessed. My friend, I don't know how long you are waiting or searching about God. Please, wait no longer. Read the Scripture. The Scripture will cause you to believe. When you believe, you are sealed. And if you want to, you tell me so I can jump to the ceiling and hug you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are a marvelous God. Nobody can engineer a salvation so simple and so powerful like this one. And we are the one who are saved. Lord, we knew these things before and we studied these things before, but each time we review them, you give us encouragement for our life that the difficulties and the agonies of this life is nothing to compare with the great joy we're going to have in your presence. There is only one word, rest, Father, and the word I want to say is this: thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In Jesus I pray, amen.
Bless the Lord.
are blessing this church by great talents and expressions. And thank you for this song about Jesus. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and I miss my deacon who tells me who's supposed to be here. So I don't know if you know it. No, Victor, you, and Mike. Okay, you hear it? Joby, Victor, and Mike. Mike is not here. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay, Brother DeLillo, will you please come in? Thank you. See, I have no good memory. The deacons help me, all right? the Lord's Supper, please be seated. The Lord's Supper is a memorial left for us as a church body to remember what Jesus has done. Remember me, said the scripture.